Isaiah chapter 41, verse 24. Behold, you are of no account, and your works amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Who are these people who are of no account? What are their works that amount to nothing? And who are these people who choose these people who are of no account? Welcome to the program, God and Country. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In today's program, I hope to give some insights into current world affairs from the prophet Isaiah. The mistake Isaiah addressed 2,700 years ago is the same mistake people are making today. What is that mistake? People are attributing too much power to men. Whether that be world leaders who believe they are directing world affairs, or whether that be conspiracy theorists who attribute over-the-top power to secret organizations. The Word of God clearly shows us how we are to think about those who appear powerful in this world. And the Bible, as usual, urges us to think differently than what everyone else is saying. I was recently given a copy of the book, The Shadows of Power by James Perloff. The subtitle, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline. This book is put out by the conservative John Birch Society, and this book circulates among conservative activists. What I regret about right-leaning books like this is that they're just as void of biblical understanding as the left that they criticize. They're simply the ditch on the right side of the road, criticizing the ditch on the left side of the road. And the first error is found in the title, The Shadows of Power. As if the CFR, the Council for Foreign Relations, actually wields great power. The more appropriate title should be The Shadows of Impotence, or Powerlessness. For as Isaiah writes, Behold, you are of no account, and your works amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. In the context, the people of no account are the world leaders, the makers, the shakers, the kings and the princes of this world. They believe they're doing great works, but God says that their works amount to nothing. Those who choose these leaders are an abomination to God, that which God abhors. The choosing of these leaders means that these people decide to fear or trust these leaders. And the error is in attributing too much power to these people, when in fact God assures us time and time again in His Word that these world leaders are powerless, impotent. They may think they have control, but they're blundering fools. They are the keystone cops of the political world. Everything they undertake to do backfires on them, collapses, and they're not able to fulfill their objectives, and by their very actions, they do more damage to themselves and their cause. Jesus made it very clear to Pilate that Pilate was powerless. John chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus said to Pilate, You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Psalm 33:10, The Lord nullifies the council of nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever and ever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Isaiah chapter 8, Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Job chapter 12, verse 17, God makes counselors walk barefoot and makes fools of judges. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Job chapter 5, verse 12, God frustrates the plotting of the shrewd so that their hands cannot attain success. The lesson is told again and again to God's people to assure us that nobody can do anything apart from God's will. And it's no wonder that we read in Psalm 76:22 that God is feared by the kings of the earth. Secretly, the world leaders are petrified of God. Let's now take some time to learn a few things about this influential organization called the Council for Foreign Relations. The CFR began as a group of academic leaders that was put together by Woodrow Wilson to develop U.S. foreign policy in the aftermath of World War I. This group was called the Inquiry. The intellectual leaders in America didn't want to sit idly by. They wanted to be involved in world affairs. And the government needed guidance. Politicians are good statesmen, but rarely are they familiar with every issue. This was no different than biblical ancient Israel. The kings would look to wise men for advice. Remember, David had his counselor Ahithophel, and in 1 Kings 22, Ahab and Jehoshaphat are ready to go to war together, and Jehoshaphat says to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" The king's counselors were also called prophets. In the ancient world, there was no separation between the secular and the sacred. And counsel is a godly thing. Proverbs 11:14 reads, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there is victory." The conspiracy theorists complain that the very existence of the CFR is a crime, but it's nothing more than a private think tank, no different than the Heritage Foundation or the Cato Institute or the John Birch Society. Now, some might disagree with the foreign policy or the objectives of the CFR, but the existence of the organization is neutral. So in 1922, academic leaders from the inquiry, along with business leaders who are interested in fostering international trade, got together and formed the CFR. Its headquarters are at Park and 68th Street. And as all these social clubs do, the CFR plays up to the influence and the contacts you can make by being part of the CFR, as long as you pay your $25,000 a year dues. And the CFR recruits popular people in America to keep up the image of being the who's who in American social influence. There are about 5,000 members, congressmen, senators, presidents, secretaries of state, members of the media. On board are Katie Couric, Dan Rather, Larry Kudlow, Tony Snow, James Baker, Madeleine Albright, Jimmy Carter, John McCain, Henry Kissinger, George Soros, Colin Powell, even Carl Sagan when he was alive. They recently put on two evangelicals, Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church and Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention. Then there are the corporate members, Google, Bloomberg, ExxonMobil, Goldman Sachs, ABC. This is America. And the problem with this organization is the problem with America. We have abandoned the counsel and the worldview of the Word of God and replaced it with the reasonings of men. Right from the beginning, the academic leaders from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, who guided this organization and who wrote the articles in its magazine, Foreign Affairs, were men who abandoned the biblical faith of their parents and their grandparents. These were the progressives, the modernists of the first part of the 20th century. These were leading families in America. They were the landowners, the educators, the graduates of the Ivy League schools, the sons and daughters of the American Revolution, the owners of the corporations. These were the grandchildren of Christian America. They had the shell of Christian morality and Christian good works without Christ in the scriptures. They held on to the moral trappings of Christianity, but in their pride, they abandoned the doctrines of Christ, claiming it wasn't intellectual. It wasn't modern. The movement was called the Social Gospel Movement. And the leaders and the families in the mainline denominational churches abandoned the whole idea of the new birth and replaced it with social justice and good works. As Paul says, they held to a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. And so they became the do-gooders who, rather than looking to the gospel truth, they look to men and human organizations and governments to make the world a better place. Many of them naturally fell into the isms of communism and socialism. And rather than fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus, they tried to change the world by humanism, by education, by government power. You see, the devil is not opposed to trying to make mankind better as long as it's done without Jesus Christ. These leaders were socialists. It's a default religion when a man rejects Jesus Christ. The power of big government takes the place of God, and the goals and objectives that belong to the kingdom of God are given to the kingdom of man. These people are on a vain moral crusade to change the world. And this is what you get when you combine ambitious people who want to fix things with an ignorance of God and his truth. And many of these early social leaders appear to be religious as they push for world peace and unity. And they would quote the Bible, Micah chapter 4, verse 3. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. This verse, Micah chapter 4, verse 3, is displayed in the United Nations. But the means by which these leaders sought to do this was not through biblical truth, but through humanistic, secular values and ideas. At the beginning of the 20th century, the scriptures were ridiculed by these intellectuals in American education. Human wisdom was put above divine revelation. And this new generation believed truth could be found without using the Bible. Man became autonomous. And what we have had in foreign policy over the last 100 years has been one big mess. Through their ideas, these leaders have left devastation and death in their path. And that's what always happens when people abandon the Word of God. And what the true prophet said to Israel's foolish pagan leaders can be said to American leaders. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. O my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path. It was these leaders who are unwilling to finish the war in Korea and left us with North Korea. It was these leaders who put us into the war in Vietnam, but then refused to fight the war fully. It was these leaders who supported the Shah of Iran and sought to set up a secular state in Iran, which ended in the Iranian Islamic Revolution and the threat we have today from Iran. It was these leaders who created the World Bank and put the Third World into crushing debt. It was these foreign policy leaders who supported and armed Saddam Hussein and then had to deal with him as an enemy. It was these leaders who armed the Afghanistan Muslims against the Soviet Union, and this gave rise to the Taliban. And now we're pouring billions into trying to turn Afghanistan into a friendly democracy, all the while it's a radical Muslim state which is actively persecuting Christians. And much more can be said about the pros and the cons and the mistakes of American foreign policy. But we know from the Word of God that all foreign policy actions backfire when a nation becomes ungodly and doesn't follow God's law. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20, the Lord will send upon you curses and confusion and rebuke and all you undertake to do until you're destroyed on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. We also read in 1 Kings chapter 11, once Solomon abandoned the Lord and brought paganism into Israel, the Lord raised up adversaries to Solomon. The countries around Israel began to afflict Israel due to all of the foreign policy blunders under Solomon's reign. But what does God's word say about the foreign policy that belongs to a godly nation? The basic biblical principles are seen in the outline God gave to Israel concerning her foreign policy. Now, without going into any great detail, the bottom line was that Israel was not to influence other nations through bribes, dollar diplomacy, alliances, power brokering. But the foreign policy objective was to trust God and work on national righteousness internally. The best foreign policy for Israel was to be a moral example to other nations, to set the example. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. There are also prohibitions in the Mosaic Covenant against making alliances with pagan nations. Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going. It will become a snare in your midst. We see in the major prophets that the main reason for this was that the nation was to do right and to trust God rather than trust foreign nations. Isaiah said about Israel's alliance with Egypt in Isaiah chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. if as a nation Israel did what was right, there was really no need for these sophisticated maneuverings and treaties and alliances or oversight organizations. There was really no need to waste money on foreign policy manipulators and theorists. All they needed to do was trust God and live according to the law, and God would take care of the rest. But because we have not followed the counsel of Scripture, the foreign policy of the United States has been a Machiavellian power play, where we try to buy friends with foreign aid, and we pit one nation against another nation, and we devise ways to change nations and overthrow kings apart from the simple preaching of biblical truth. And all of the articles in Foreign Affairs sound like smart, modern management principles and manipulation of human nature, but the whole thing is one big apostasy. Understand their core philosophy. Since the American leaders in foreign policy are not guided by the Word of God, the only thing that they can imagine that will bring world peace is unity. The human logic is that if you get people living and working together, then people are less likely to go to war because war is about differences. Now, from the Christian worldview, unity is the fruit of righteousness, not the cause of righteousness. And getting people together will actually cause more conflict. Because of the sin of the world and because of this tendency toward war, God established and separated the nations. The biblical answer to peace is to keep the nations apart. But no, the leaders of this world have the Babylonian spirit. They believe that the answer is globalism, a new world order. Carl, who runs the soundboard, said to me the other day, "Unless you knew the Bible, there's very little reason why someone would be against world unity. That people would be united seems like a biblical goal. Rather than being divided and fighting, unite and become one." But the Bible teaches that until Jesus Christ returns, we must maintain national sovereignty and borders to keep a check on the sin of the world. David Rockefeller, the former chairman of the CFR, wrote in his autobiography, "Some believe that we, the Rockefellers and the CFR, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that is the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it." Of course, Rockefeller's quote here was great fuel for conspiracy theorists. But David Rockefeller has always been a showboat, boasting and having power and having great goals, but he was mostly smoke and mirrors. It's not just the Rockefellers who have globalistic tendencies. It's coming from all of the leaders in business and academia. Like ancient Israel, all the leaders have turned to the Council of Men. Hillary Clinton recently gave a speech dedicating the new Washington office of the CFR. She said, "We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have to go far to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future." It is clear where the leaders of America are getting their guidance. If the CFR was a conspiracy organization or a shadow government, that would make matters so much easier. But they're us. They're America. We are the ones being fooled into this globalist antichrist spirit. And it is God himself who is allowing this to happen to prepare the world for the final days. We read in Revelation chapter 17, verse 17, "For God has put in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdoms to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled." In that the world has abandoned the authority of Jesus Christ, he has given the world over to its own devices. Now let's return to where we started this program with the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 begins the section of Isaiah called the Book of Comfort. It begins, "Comfort, O comfort my people." Why do God's people need comforting? Because of the oppression of evil, both within their own hearts and from society? The wicked king Ahaz is on the throne of Israel. The Assyrian Empire is on the attack. The whole world seems to be given over to evil, and the powerful of the world seem to be in control. So how does God comfort his people in these chapters? These chapters are full of messianic promises. And in these chapters, we find the famous promises of the Messiah in chapter 52 and 53, that my servant, the Messiah, will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and exalted. My servant will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. You can't get any greater comfort than that. God will redeem us from our iniquity. But there is another major sub-theme in these chapters: God's sovereign control over the nations and the peoples of the world, and his sovereign control in effecting his plan for his people, despite the plans and the schemings of world leaders. Many of us are familiar with these famous passages from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are regarded as a speck on the dust on the scales. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 17. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. What is God saying here about the leaders of this world, the establishment, the powerful, the ruling class, those members of the UN and the CFR who think they have power? They are but pawns in God's hands. God states in no uncertain terms that he is in complete control. And not only is God in control, but he actually works to thwart and destroy the works and the plans of men. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 23. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them, and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. For this reason, God says to the ungodly leaders of this world, Isaiah 41, 24, behold, you are of no account, and your works amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Yet God will say in these chapters to his people, Isaiah 41, 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angry at you will be ashamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. Isaiah 41, 16, you will winnow them, and the wind will carry them away, and the storm will scatter them, but you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. I hope that everyone listening today has put their trust and hope in the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One of Israel, in whom we will glory. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. You can listen to this program again or other past programs at godandcountryradio.org. You can call us at 732-583-9286. Free CDs of this program are available on our website or by calling us at 732-583-9286 or godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for your support, which makes this program possible. When you support this program, you are simply supporting the truth in a world in which most of the support goes toward the lie. We don't need the millions that are collected and spent by policy groups such as the CFR. All we need are faithful small donations from God's people. And with the little, the truth of God can go forth with power and shake the nations. It's godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. O Lord, help us to continually be able to say to the nations, the Lord reigns. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Strengthen your people with wisdom and confidence in these last days. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.